This is, of course, the first Sunday of Lent. Normally, we are used to introducing this character in Advent, but since we've gotten a little bit different, we first of all had Christmas carols last Sunday when it was so appropriate, so it seems, although so few were able to make it out. We possibly should have gone that route again, but since we're moving on with the story, we are reading some passages from Matthew 3, John 3, and 4, and the first couple verses of Matthew 4. This is, of course, the time when we normally focus on the temptation of Jesus. How appropriate that it falls into that that period of time as we prepare for Lent and as we continue the story. Reading first from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." He was the one of whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." John wore clothes made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, "You children of snakes, who warns you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. I baptized with water, but those of you who have changed your hearts and lives, the one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husk with a fire that can't be put out." At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River, so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" And Jesus answered, Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." And the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, He was starving. And so came the temptations. Reading from John, excerpts from 3 and 4. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son. This is the basis for judgment. The light came into the world, and people love darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift, and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water." Okay, she didn't quite get it, did she? Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning from your word. We ask that you would open your word and the words of Scripture to our lives, that you would speak to us through the Lord Jesus, through the words that we have read, and through your Spirit ministering to us in this time together. Help us to be aware of your presence with us, and give each of us something we need this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. I may have been a little dramatic in the portrayal of John the Baptist, but I don't think that I did him justice. John came upon the scene as a radical statement for the kingdom of God. In the garb of Elijah, who wore similar clothing, he comes upon the scene as this eccentric individual who comes on like gangbusters, like an Old Testament prophet. And people's ears perk up as they hear what he has to say. And we find out that people flocked to be baptized by him. They wanted this change in their lives. They wanted this change in their circumstances. They wanted this difference, this relationship with God that he was speaking of. And yes, it might inconvenience them, but just so it wasn't too bad, you know. Although, just in case there were those who didn't get the point, John comes on kind of almost in the voice of one Larry the Cable Guy. Get her done! That you've got to do better than just give lip service to the kingdom of God. You've got to do better than just say, oh, I want to be a better person. I want God to make me a better person. John would say instead, get her done. Change your life. Make it real. Make a difference. And allow God to make this difference in you. And then, as you've changed, as you've been transformed by the power of God, then step into the water. Allow God to seal the deal. And people did. And it was in this setting that Jesus comes on the scene. He comes onto the scene so much different. Now we're told that Jesus preached a similar sermon as far as prepare for the kingdom of God. But we don't find John coming on with the force of a John the Baptist. We don't see him coming on with this fiery disposition. In fact, at one point, we are told that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were nicknamed sons of thunder because of their radical personalities and wanting to call down fire from heaven on these people who weren't paying close enough attention to who he was. Instead, Jesus reminds us that God wants a new relationship with us, and that God invites us into his presence, into his family, that God is doing the deal, that God is providing the sacrifice. Now, there is some semblance of that we find in the first chapter of John's gospel, that John was getting this as he declares, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." But at other points, John seems ready for the second coming. Even as the first coming is suddenly being explained to them. Jesus had come some 30 years before with little fanfare. Oh, sure, there were those shepherds. There was an Anna and a Simeon that Luke speaks of. There were magi that came on the scene that Matthew speaks of. But other than that, there were few and who really got what God was doing. Oh, there were rumors floating around, you know, that said he's come. But still, when John comes on the scene, he takes them by surprise. And when Jesus comes upon the scene, there is just as much surprise. Who is this? The disciples, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is this guy? We'll get into that next week, won't we? In the story. For now, we are reminded that Jesus came to seal the deal. That Jesus came to help us to get her done. That this opportunity for this new relationship with God, through God coming among us in Christ Jesus, becoming one of us. In the baptism, we have all three persons of the Godhead present at the same time. As Jesus comes on the scene, as the Holy Spirit comes in bodily form in the shape of a dove or in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven, from the Father, declares, "This is my Son." Isn't he great? I am so proud of him, so pleased. Jesus reminds us that God is calling us into this relationship to know him, his presence, his power in our hearts and our lives. Of course, it wasn't just a Jewish thing. There were Samaritans. Of all things, a Samaritan woman of questionable character, certainly questionable lifestyle. And Jesus makes the offer of living water. In John 3, we're reminded that it comes as we believe. As we get it, finally, what the others couldn't get, that the Word had become flesh and dwelt among us. As Nicodemus struggled to try to get it, but that those who believe, those who believe, escape the judgment of God. Those who believe, those who yield their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus, escape judgment and receive instead eternal life, this living water that he speaks of later on. This new relationship with the living God. That God has wanted since the creation of his crown jewel of mankind has first come. Beginning again, starting all over, God wants to get her done. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love and your call upon our lives. Lord, help us to be responsive and responsible in our lives to you. Help us to demonstrate in our lives the transformation that you are effecting within us, that the world may see that we truly belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray.